Hey, Colleen.
Hey, Hannah.
So this is between a rock and a hard place, although it kind of looks like a storage closet.
But seriously, we're here to talk about life in Iraq.
Right.
So today we're talking about weddings.
Right, all the weddings. We just were at a wedding.
Yes.
You were in the wedding.
I was in the wedding. It wasn't my wedding, though.
No. Or mine.
We have been at my sister's wedding, and a few months before that, I was at my brother's wedding. Awesome weddings, all. But it got us thinking, along with the season that it is currently.
Right.
Yay, spring.
June. If you're married in June, you're a bride all your life.
Exactly. And so we began thinking about all of the weddings we had been to in Kurdistan.
Iraq. Yeah. And I feel like the more we talked about it, the more we were like, but have we been to weddings?
And the truth of it is, we haven't actually been to the ceremonial part of
Kurdish
wedding.
Right. I've been to several Christian weddings.
Like Assyrian Christian.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Chaldean.
Or Chaldean. Yeah. But the actual ceremony of getting married in Kurdistan is not a public affair.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can remember, from what people have told me, like, the bride and groom and some men go to an imam and, like, to a mosque or something and, like, have something read, and it's all just, it's very short and signing of documents, and, like, that's kind of the wedding ceremony.
Right. So when we talk about weddings, we're more talking about the party after the wedding.
Right. What Americans would call a wedding reception, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Although that doesn't necessarily have to follow right after the ceremony.
Right. I have been at the, like, pre-wedding ceremony, too. Okay, so I feel like we need to explain this.
Yeah, we probably should take a step
There's
back.
There's, like, engagement as a, like, formal event. It's not just the man and the woman, and the man asks the woman, hey, do you want to marry me? Like, there is kind of like a formality around engagement.
And most people that I know there would actually call themselves married at that point.
Right. Because it's kind of like a betrothal sort of
right,
thing.
Right, in the biblical sense, where you have a legal contract at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been to two engagement parties.
Yeah.
One where I actually knew the person that was getting married, and the other one was on my trip to Iraq in the spring. And those were both kind of different. Like, actually, the engagement party that I went to of the person that I knew was actually a henna party, which is kind of like the one I went to anyways was a combination wedding shower slash bachelorette party.
Okay. And so you did henna?
Yes. So the bride, like, dips one of her fingers in henna, and, like, the groom comes in, and he's the only man that's there at that point, and he also, like, dips his finger in henna, and then they, like, get bound up together, and there's a lot of dancing around them.
Oh.
And I didn't fully understand everything that was happening. I mean, it was a friend, and someone was telling me what was going on. But it was all, you know, symbolic of, like,
right,
how they're matched now.
Akin to the lighting of the Unity candle.
Right. The Unity henna.
There you go.
But the rest of it was more like, you know, we played bridal shower games and ate food and was very...
The engagement party I remember going to was nothing like that at all. It was the families, and there was, like, lots of giving of gold.
Yeah, so the Kurdish one that I went to was like that.
Okay.
And in fact, I didn't realize it was an engagement party until after we left, and I was like, okay, so are they married now? What is happening?
What happened?
I was like, no. They, you know, the family of the groom gave the bride all this gold jewelry to, like, show that she's part of their family now, and the mother of the bride, or the bride's family wasn't there at all, I think.
Oh.
or traditionally the bride's family doesn't come. Hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, her sisters maybe came.
Yeah.
Because my friend that I was with there was like, yeah, I feel like it would be really sad to be at this big party and none of your family be there to see you, like, officially get engaged.
Right.
She was like, but this family is, like, being non-traditional because these are her sisters and they came.
Right. I think that's a growing trend in the wedding stuff that I've been a part of in Kurdistan, is that there's less following maybe of older traditions, some additions of some Western traditions. Mm-hmm. I know for the one of the wedding receptions, people call it, you go to the wedding, that I went to, they actually played music and had the bride walk down this huge aisle. Mm-hmm. And none of the rest of any of the ceremony was there, like a wedding ceremony. Right. But they did add that one feature.
The, like, entrance of the bride.
Entrance of the bride.
Yeah. That henna party that I went to, I got invited back for, like, the pre-wedding ceremony.
Right.
Which I thought was really fascinating, and I did get it kind of, like, explained to me as things were happening. So I kind of want to talk about it, because I thought that was really cool. So, the bride is in her parents' house, and all of her relatives are in the house as well. And the groom's family drives up in a very decked-out car. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
yes.
Flowers and ribbons and, like, very much, like, party car.
Fluff party car.
Yes. And he brought with him musicians who started playing music as soon as he, like, stepped out of the car.
Nice.
And so the men of the family at that point are outside, and they kind of, like, dance around with him, but he also brings his mother with him.
Oh.
And, like, her job is to, like, fight her way through the whole family to get to the bride and get the bride back to the car.
The mother's job.
So it's kind of that idea of, like, they're stealing the bride away from her family.
Okay. Okay.
And so in this case, it was families that were related to each other.
Uh-huh.
So there was definitely no, like, actual fighting.
Right.
But they had to make a show of, like, we don't want to let our daughter go. We're sad to be parted from her. And so the final part, she gets back to the room and the bride's mother is in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way the mother will allow her to come in to take her daughter is if she pays her.
Oh!
And so, like, the more money you're able to hand over at that point, the more, like, prestige it gives you. So I have no idea how much money was exchanged, but I do know it was in U.S. dollars.
Oh!
Not
a Iraqi dinar.
Not a Iraqi dinar. The real valuable stuff. And so then as soon as, like, the bride is taken out of the room, like, the female family members all start weeping.
Oh!
And mourning. But by the time they get out to the men, the dancing and the partying part has started.
Okay.
And they put her in the car, and she and the groom's parents drive off, or the, like, his mother and brother or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone else kind of, like, loaded up into cars and was carried away.
Now, at this point, had the bride gone through her dress and makeup preparation?
Yes, she was dressed and ready.
Because that, I think, was always one of the most surprising aspects to me about Kurdish weddings.
Right.
Was the amount of makeup that the women wear. Like, many of them are unrecognizable as themselves.
Yes.
They look like painted porcelain dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And also the amount of hair. Because while
on their heads, all not have, like, they're not hairy.
But yeah, on their heads. But yeah, like, they all have lovely, thick, lots of hair anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously hair and other things are added to their coiffure, mm-hmm. and there's height and yes. largeness.
Right.
And then, of course, the dress.
Which has to be big and poofy and sparkly.
And white.
And white.
And also, most of the ones I saw were more revealing than anything any of those ladies would ever be caught in anywhere else.
Yes.
Like, many of them look much like what you'd see in the U.S. Strapless, mm-hmm. low cut. Some of them less so, but
I think I've seen both. I've seen some really modest ones. One wedding in particular. I guess I just saw pictures from it. She had the whole hijab.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was white, mm-hmm. and she had kind of like a strapless dress, but she had like a white long sleeve turtlenecky kind of shirt
covering.
On.
Yeah.
Like not a shirt. It looked mm-hmm. very nice with the dress. So I guess I have seen both.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was also Syrian. So mm-hmm. that
may have been a little
Kurdish, but Syrian Kurdish.
Yeah.
But yes. And they don't buy their dresses, which I think is so smart.
So smart. They rent them.
Yes.
I mean, makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because who wants to spend that much money on a big poofy dress, sparkly dress that you're never going to wear again? This is something that needs to come to America.
Yes, I agree.
Rental wedding dresses. Someone start that business. I don't have time. Nor desire.
Nor honestly. Desire. Yeah.
But yeah, and not just the dresses, but like they put on all the jewelry too.
Right.
So like if part of their dowry is gold, whatever gold jewelry they've been given by the family or by their husband, mm-hmm. they wear.
So they've got doubled up the mm-hmm. the gold.
Yeah. And not just, like, a little bit of gold. It's, like, all the gold. Because it's kind of, like, showing how much their husband values them.
Right.
Because or his family
values them. The idea is, if he gives her more gold and, say, she leaves him or he divorces her, mm-hmm. like, she gets to take that gold with her and his wealth will go away with her. Mm-hmm. And so that rather large investment
right.
is a sign of value and honor to her that he's not going to let her go because right. she would take all of that wealth with her.
Yeah, there's some guarantee in that mm-hmm. and provision in that.
It's one of the things that I know some of my Western American friends have run into questions when they meet other, you know, living there when they meet other families and like, oh, like you're only wearing a ring. Like, does your husband not love you?
Right.
And he, you know, in the US, we don't use large quantities of gold to show our value of another person.
Right. Yeah. But we also don't need that guarantee, that value system, because most women are able to take care of themselves.
Yeah. There's a lot more independence.
It used to be that the standard was you paid the weight of the woman in gold. And I think that's not happening anymore. But it did, like, when I learned that, I kind of made the connection of, like, oh, that's why women, like, tend to fill out more after they're married, because they don't want to weigh too much beforehand because they'll never get married.
Right. But yeah, with less, I think less wealth and more people, and I think people too not wanting to wait as long maybe to get married. I know that a lot of men have to wait
right.
a while to gain enough wealth to be able to buy the gold to get married.
Well, and I think people are using different wealth standards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about gold necessarily, but like, do you have a car? Can you buy a house? Do you have a steady job? Like, how much income are you bringing into your family? Mm-hmm. So kind mm-hmm. of transitioning from that nomadic wealth has to be carryable. right, to wealth has to be visible in some other way. Is kind of one of those cultural tradition changes. I know there are a lot of men who are frustrated by that because they want to get married, but there aren't jobs in Kurdistan that allow them to make enough money to buy a new car or buy a house. And most families are looking for that.
Well, and I think that's...
Which is reasonable.
You know, if you want someone who can take care of your daughter in a society where she can't make it on her own.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I felt like I started to see more and more people who the husband or husband-to-be would come to America or go to Europe and work and make a bunch of money and buy a house or buy a car there and then come back and get married and either go back without her to continue to work or eventually bring her back with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's becoming more common just because it's harder to find jobs.
Yeah.
Are you wondering what to do with your life? We've got some ideas. Come check them out at www.servantgroup.org/Iraq.
Another tradition that I thought was really interesting is that the family has to agree that two people should get married to each other.
Yeah.
Like, even though more and more people are marrying for love, not...
Right, the love matches.
Right.
Not arranged marriages, which a lot of the older generation pretty much had with consent. I mean, it was just the way things were.
Right, right. You didn't go out and find your spouse. Someone, your parents arranged it for you. But there still is that, like, the families have to agree that those two people should get married. And not just, like, mom and dad and mom and dad, but, like, aunts and uncles and grandparents all have to, like... Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's part of that is that guarantee that the woman will be provided for and that she's not marrying someone who will bring shame to the family.
Right.
Or that the man is not marrying someone that will bring shame to his family. And I think a consequence of some of that is that family members tend to get married.
Yeah. Cousins, so, second cousins, third cousins. Like, because everyone knows their whole family tree down to the nth degree.
Right.
Lots of people are related in ways that in America we would never know.
Right, or keep track of.
Or keep track of.
Yeah. And I mean, there are standards for that. Like, you can't marry your mother's sister's child, but you can marry your mother's brother's child.
Right.
Because mother and brother are less genetically similar than mother and sister would be.
Right, yeah.
So the same on the other side. You can't marry your father's brother's kid, but you can marry your father's sister's kid.
Yeah, it's so complicated.
Yeah, so I have been to at least two weddings where it was cousins getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not a weird thing for them culturally at right. all.
And honestly, for a lot of people, especially if you were kept really isolated, the idea of marrying somebody that you had met and grown up with versus marrying a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, historically and culturally, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. Right. Internet dating's not a thing.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah. Maybe in the rising generations.
Maybe.
I feel like that will be a cultural shift, should it ever come about.
But, I mean, all cultures are always shifting. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's a cultural shift for those of us in the West.
That's true. That's true. It is. I can't even imagine how that would work in Kurdistan. I can't even imagine. Anyway, weddings.
Weddings.
It's also a big deal to have very fancy receptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get everything from a circle of red chairs in a open field and kind of a picnic-y celebration.
Right. I've been to some of those.
Mm-hmm. To, like, we rented a hall and have a catered dinner. And
set off fireworks indoors.
Mm-hmm. And have a great camera on a crane that is like swooping around and videotaping everything. Oh my word.
As a Westerner in like public events, the camera is not your friend.
I mean, it's it is in your face,
but it's not your friend.
Yeah. Lots and lots of dancing, really loud music. Yeah,
dancing, really loud music. And photos, mm-hmm. like photos with the bride and groom.
Right, who are like seated up on like
a dais or whatever.
A dais with like flowers around them and they're on like a couch and
right.
they just kind of have to sit there and wait
and
for
look
people.
Stoic, mm-hmm. like look not happy. I mean, granted, if she moved her face, it might
crack.
Like all the makeup might just fall off. I don't know. But yeah. I have to say, I think the one I enjoyed the most, though, was one that was small, mm-hmm. just in a park. And it was a whole range of adventure for me, because I was the only non-family member,
mm-hmm.
and it was my neighbors, and I think really the only reason I was invited was because they knew I could drive, mm-hmm. and they needed another driver.
Nice.
And so, like, I don't know why I didn't have a chili curdy at that point, or maybe mine was still being made. Anyway, like, or I think I had a brown one, and they're like, no, you can't wear brown to a wedding. I don't know. But I ended up, like, going, and they wanted me to try on a bunch of their chili curdies, and, like, they wanted, like, we did put on a bunch of makeup, and, yeah, then all these cars show up, and there's, you know, another car there, and, yeah, they put me in a car. I think the mom and a younger brother and some other women, and we drove off to go pick up the bride at the salon where mm-hmm. she was all bedecked
mm-hmm.
and drove as, you know, part of this whole caravan of people with, you know, like the decked out car and the
honking
music and the honking and let's just say it was a little stressful for me. I was like, I hope they don't drive too crazy because I don't know that I'm going to be able to keep up with them. But they were decently sedate for me.
Good.
And yeah, we drove, picked her up from the salon, drove to like a photo place
mm-hmm.
where
to get like the formal
portraits were taken and, you know, different family members went through. And like, I just sat there, I think for a couple hours. Well, photos were taken, and then we packed up from there and went to some office where they signed something. But again, I wasn't in there. I was waiting in the lobby
mm-hmm.
with other people. None of these people really spoke any English, so we had to get by on my barely there Kurdish.
Yeah.
And from there, yeah, we went to a park and had food and took photos, and I got my photo taken with the bride and groom I don't even know how many times.
Yep.
And I kept being like, don't smile, because, you know, you don't want to look like you're in a toothpaste commercial, right? With everyone else who's, you know, part of some sort of serious band photo.
Right.
And yeah, and then, yeah, drove everybody home, and after it got dark, and I was just like, I spent my whole day driving around a whole group of people for a wedding, and it was nothing like any American wedding I've right. ever been to, but it was really fun, and I got a lot of good Kurdish practice in, and they were thrilled that I was there, and hey, everybody got to be a part of the day because I could drive.
Yep, good work, Colleen, good work. The only other wedding tradition I can think of that's different is wedding gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take gifts to a wedding?
No.
I did go to one wedding where all the tables had an envelope on them, and you were supposed to, like, collect cash from the table and put it in the envelope, and then you were all supposed to go up and, like, greet the bride and groom and leave the envelope on the table.
Oh.
As a, like, we're just going to give you this money sort of thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That way no individual is called out for
right.
lack of generosity. Mm-hmm. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. I thought it was clever. I was like, should I ever get married, this is what we're going to do.
in the invitations, please do not bring gifts, but...
Bring cash.
Bring cash to stick in the envelope on your table.
Yes. The other part of that that I have heard, though, I've never experienced it, is that, like, a week after the wedding, mm-hmm. you're supposed to bring, like, housewarming type gifts mm-hmm. to the bride and groom in their new house.
Yeah.
So, like, if you wanted to give someone dishes or things that we would think you would do at a bridal shower, like mm-hmm. a crock pot. Nobody wants a crock pot.
Not without city electricity.
Right. You're supposed to go and, like, welcome them into their house as a married couple.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, again, is much more convenient because then you don't have to haul the gifts from wherever you got the married. Venue. To the house.
Or unwrap them all.
Right.
I have helped many a bride unwrap her wedding gifts, and it always feels just a little bit rude? Awkward?
Awkward.
You're like, these are not my gifts, but I also understand the necessity of, like, accomplishing this monstrous task. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Or the, like, bridal party circle where you have to open the gift in front of everyone and be like, oh, look, isn't it nice? And then, like, pass it around the circle so everyone can look at it.
I always enjoyed that as a child. I've not been to one of those as an adult, I don't think.
I've been to several as the adult, and I'm like, this is so awkward and uncomfortable, and I don't like it, and it's not even for me. Yeah.
Anyway, just bring the gift.
Bring the gift a week afterwards to the house.
To the house.
And, like, I think that is also, they do, like, they bring food gifts. Like, here's a bunch of flour or... You know, mm-hmm. in the South, we would mm-hmm. call that a pounding, where you bring a pound of a pantry yeah. supply.
But I also think that that works there because maybe I'm wrong, but I never knew of anyone who went on any sort of traditional honeymoon.
Right.
Like, you're kind of expected to get married and, like, the next day be back at work. Mm-hmm. Which always kind of surprised me when, you know, one of the teachers would come in and be like, oh, yes, I got married yesterday. I have right. brought soda for everyone, or candy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yesterday? Really?
Congratulations!
And sometimes it was the engagement that happened the day before, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's like, yeah, they actually went and did this whole wedding thing.
Right.
She's got photos on her phone of
yeah.
someone who doesn't look like her.
Yeah. I feel like Friday is the wedding day, generally. Mm-hmm. That's when I saw the most wedding things happening.
Well, that makes sense. Saturdays are the most common wedding day, I think, in the U.S.
Yep. I had teachers that would get married and I wouldn't know about it.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, oh, my wedding's coming up in 3 months.
I think there's a lot less stress about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all not last minute necessarily, but it's not the lengthy production. That no. American weddings can be, which, again, kind of nice. If you have been to any unique weddings,
yes,
please tell us about them. I mean, I think we have also been to a Hindu wedding.
Yes.
I've also been to a Hindu
part of one.
Right. We They're did, real long.
We didn't last the whole time.
Right.
Who's also our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Hindu engagement party as well. But yeah, tell us about, like, the most unique wedding tradition that you have seen.
Or even the most unique wedding unity symbol. My sister's wedding had a charging of the unity fuel cell.
Which was unique, for sure. Yeah. And a little bit scary, I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, you were standing at the back of the room.
That's
true. I was right up there next to it.
That's true. I was out of the splash zone, as it were. but yeah, let us know what unique or interesting wedding things that you have seen. And we'd love to share more of our weird non-Kurdish wedding stories with you.
You can find us at Servant Group International on Facebook or Instagram, or on our website at servantgroup.org.
Yeah, and if you have a question that we haven't answered yet, send us an email or Facebook message. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And boy, did I put myself on display.
Oh.
No, I broke a vase, and it was very embarrassing. But I don't want to talk about it.
It's okay, Hannah. It's okay.